Our text this morning is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 35. You can find it in your pew Bibles on page 1312. I have another Bible in there, and it's the same color as one of these, and I think it's just a different version. I know it's a different version. I need to just get rid of it. Does anyone want a free Bible? Just as we come to God's Word, let us pray, asking for His illumination. Teach us your way, O Lord, and lead us on a level path. Teach us to follow your decrees, and we will keep them to the end. Give us understanding, and we will keep your law and obey it with all our hearts. Through Christ our Lord, we pray for these things. Amen. Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 35. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them were going to the village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some of the women in our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, They came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered there, saying, The Lord has indeed risen and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning. Thanks be to God. Now, I have mentioned before that I am not only an identical twin, but I'm a youngest child, which means I have a mischievous side, just a small one that shows itself at times. And it showed itself several times in school. For example, my senior year of high school, I had a calculus teacher, one of those calculus teachers that was very serious. And those are the most fun ones to mess with, because you never know when you'll get in trouble. And I only got detention once, but I probably deserved it 6 or 7 times. I'd always try and throw her off, whether it was by having a surprise pizza party where I had just ordered pizza to be delivered and it showed up, or as I got the opportunity to, I worked for the Clare City Hall, and they always had an Easter egg hunt. And the year of my senior year, they had ordered some 500 extra plastic Easter eggs, and they had over-ordered candy. And they asked me, the parks person asked me to get rid of it, or however I would want. And that is why my senior year, Mrs. Taylor's calculus class showed up 30 minutes late for class, because given a choice between calculus and an Easter egg hunt, seniors will choose an Easter egg hunt. But I had one prank that kind of ended up with me not having the last laugh. My freshman year of college, I took a Spanish class. And though I was really good at math, I am not so bueno at Spanish. I had this Spanish teacher who was very extroverted. She was really fun. And as the semester neared its end, I had my identical twin come. Now, every morning that we had that Spanish class, that professor would come in and she would spend the first 3 minutes talking only in Spanish about what she had done since the last class. And over the course of a semester, she learned to pick on me every time. So she would end those 3 minutes by asking me a question in Spanish. And every class, I would look up at her with a blank smile on my face and just say, bueno. So this prank that my twin and I have played on teachers is goes like this. Josiah, who she didn't know about, my twin, sat in my spot. And so it played out the normal way. She came in, she spoke for 3 minutes to him. And about 5 minutes in, I walked in. And then it hits her. She's been fooled. But she got the last laugh because she was this very extroverted person, and I will remember these words till the day I die. She looks at me as she's been fooled before this whole class, and she says, "I thought he was you, because when I spoke to him in Spanish, he didn't understand, just like you." C's do get degrees. This morning, this Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death overcome and the good news that is to us. But what does that mean? Do we understand that? Do we understand that fully? Or are we still learning? A text like this text this morning reminds us that even the very first followers of Christ didn't understand the fullness of the faith that had been given them, that those who had followed Jesus and heard his ministry proclaimed to them, spoken to them, taught to them for 3 years, those who had been told many times, still didn't understand, didn't grasp. Even after everything had taken place, hindsight's supposed to be 20/20, right? Yet they were slow to understand, to grasp. So this morning, if you are new, or if you've walked a while, or if you've walked for years, this passage is for you. Because it shows Jesus meeting you where you are, but guiding you to more and to eventually full understanding. So we'll look through this text through three lenses. We'll see how he brings us to understanding with these three lenses. First, we'll see how Jesus brings them to understand both himself and his purpose. Then we'll see in our text how he brings them to understand their purpose in the light of his gospel. And then we'll see how he equips them for that purpose. These are the three things we'll explore. So he'll bring them to understand himself and his purpose. Well, as we look at our text, I see each of these actors, the women, the disciples, and the disciples on the road to Emmaus, all showing a sort of foolishness, a blindness to what should have been clear. We see it in the women who come to the tomb and the angels almost teasingly ask them this question, "Why do you seek for the living among the dead?" What foolishness, what silliness. When the women come back and tell the disciples, the 11, the words which are in the Greek is that they received them or understood them as an idle tale, or some translations would translate that nonsense. One translation or Greek translation for the word used there calls it twaddle, which I thought was funny. Point is, it's nonsensical talk. And so here these apostles, these disciples, these 11, trained for 3 years, have no understanding. Finally, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, I find almost most funny in their lack of understanding. They're on this road and they say to Jesus, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't understand these things?" Putting themselves in a place of knowledge only to be absolutely bamboozled. to be shown the ones to not have the last laugh or the true understanding. I think it's most poignant and perhaps most ironic. In verse 21, they say, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Take a moment and think about that. That we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They lament. They lament wishing and hoping that the work had been done even after it had already been done. I think of a parallel as, like, you know those car commercials where there's a new vehicle, the spouse gets that new vehicle and they're so excited for it? Well, imagine that commercial where the vehicle was wrapped up in gift wrapping and put a bow on, and the spouse came out, and then their eyes were opened, and they see just gift wrapping and a bow. And they go away disappointed because what they had hoped for was a new car. What they had hoped for was redemption. And it's already there. It's actually right before them. The disciples lack understanding enough to see past the wrapping paper. To the Pharisees earlier in a different gospel, Jesus had said to them, "You study the scriptures diligently because you will think in them you have eternal life. Yet these are the very scriptures that testify about me." And so Jesus, in training the disciples, in teaching them understanding, does something interesting. He uses the scriptures. Our text says in verse 27, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." That would be from Genesis to Deuteronomy to all 66 books given us. All of these are pointing to who Jesus is. Through the scriptures, he's teaching, he's revealing himself to them. It's not necessarily easy, but it's worth it. Books have that way of, as you read them, you see more and more, you understand the full story, right? And in our scriptures, we understand our full God. If you don't know who Jesus is, and if you don't know his purpose, where you have to look is in the book. This is the starting place. This book was what Jesus used, the very means which he used to teach and to instruct. It is the Bible which waters our understanding and grows it. This is what he did for his first disciples and what he calls us to. It is in the Bible we find out not only who Jesus is, but also his purpose. As he explains how all the scriptures point to him, he goes on. It's in the next verses, just outside what we read today. Jesus says this to all the disciples. He says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. Thus it is written that he should die and rise for repentance and forgiveness." It is in God's living word that both we find out who God is and his purpose. So Jesus brings them to understand who he is through the Bible and his purpose, and the purpose of his suffering, dying, and rising through the Bible. Thus it is written. Next in our text, we see him bring them to understand their purpose. And we see it actually flow naturally out of the text before it's explained in the text. First with the women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, plus other women, which the scriptures don't elaborate on with their names, probably because there was too many of them. But they go and they tell the disciples. They see Jesus and they go and tell the disciples. We see the disciples on the road to Emmaus, those who see Jesus in Emmaus. The text which follows says they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and they shared with them all that had happened. Their purpose, it's to proclaim, it's to share the forgiveness and the repentance given in abundance. You know, I read stories, or I've read a story about a lottery winner, made millions, and he hid his identity from his family and friends. He did not want it shared because then they would want part of it, right? And in that story, I think of how here is a man given millions, given an abundance of wealth, more than he could rightly spend in his lifetime. And he severs his relationships with others because to hoard it. But what is the purpose of money? To hide it? To keep it? Money more than you could ever spend. Well, what is the purpose of forgiveness? To hide it, to keep it for yourself? More forgiveness than you could ever use? The verses which close this chapter, Jesus says, thus it is written, this is what was written, that he will rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness will be proclaimed, will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, beginning within the disciples, and spreading to the world, to all the nations. This is the purpose given for them in the gospel. We are instruments by which God will continue not only his revelation to a fallen world, but his redemption to every corner. This is not just for pastors. You can see it in the women, in the disciples. It flows out from Jerusalem to all the nations. You might stop yourself saying, that seems far greater than I can do. But I encourage you to see in our final point, Jesus equips them for their purpose. In the sharing, you are not alone. In our text, Jesus does two things. With the disciples, he was at table with them. He broke bread and gave it thanks to them and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This was not their doing. He opened their eyes. By his power, he opened their eyes. He opened their eyes so they might commune with him. Then outside of our text, but still in our chapter, verse 45, to the disciples, he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Equips them to understand what they've already been given. Opens their minds to understand the scripture. In our story for the apostles of the road to Emmaus, or the disciples on the road to Emmaus, as they return to Jerusalem and they share their testimony, Jesus completes their testimony. Verse 36, again, outside of our text, just but still in the chapter. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them. Jesus himself stood and said to the disciples. Jesus himself brings their testimony to completion. In a few weeks, I'll actually bring this thought further as I preach on Acts 9. But I hope what we see is Christ equipped us to understand and to see him. And ultimately, it is Jesus who equips and completes the testimonies we give, the testimony we give by revealing himself to others, by making our testimonies not just idle talk or nonsense, but making it real. As I close this morning, as I close our text, I want to continue or complete it by looking to Christ's communing especially with the Emmaus disciples. It's beautiful how the narrative has Jesus walk with them, speak with them, and ultimately commune, break bread, and give it to them. And then they see him. The text says that earlier that Jesus would, it was as if Jesus was planning to go further, and they're the ones who stopped, for the day was well spent. Yet after they commune with Jesus, after he gives them bread, they find new strength, and immediately, though the day is done, they go back 7 miles to Jerusalem. This morning, Christ communes with us, communes with you and I. He has given us, if you have believed in him, he has given us his Spirit. And his Spirit walks with us in this life and lives within us. Not only that, but God's living word speaks to us if we'll listen to it. And then finally, as the church, we are blessed with the sacrament of communion. Now, the communion sacrament is a mystery. There is mysterious elements which take place, and we are spiritually fed in that. Just as it was miraculous for the disciples, their eyes were miraculously opened, so it is for us that God does something. This morning, I do not want to even try to explain it all, but I hope we might see how John Calvin describes it. John Calvin says, in communion, Christ does not come down to us in his body or his blood, but instead, we are lifted up to him by the Holy Spirit. Thus, in the sacrament, the Holy Spirit unites the faithful to the person of Christ as they eat and drink the signs, the physical elements of the bread and wine. In this sacrament, we are united to Jesus to do all that we are called to do. We are equipped and empowered to journey further than we would have on our own because of what he has accomplished. United to him to proclaim and to fulfill our testimonial and witnessing, our purpose under his gospel, through him and by him. As we prepare for communion, I hope that in the word of God we might come to more and more know of Jesus and his death and his resurrection and the gospel of repentance and forgiveness revealed in its fullness to us, both the person of God and his purposes And then we might see ourselves in joy responding out of that, sharing it, and encouraged by the power given us to go and be the means by which redemption is brought to completion. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, this morning you have called each of us here by means we may not even fully understand. Yet you have called us, and you have completed the work of redemption in the work on the cross. And now you offer us repentance and forgiveness if we will turn and accept and believe in you. Lord, as we approach the table, we pray that your Spirit would strengthen and encourage and equip us to see you, to see you anew, to see you fully revealed, and to be your instruments of proclamation, of witness, and redemption to the people, to all the nations. Through you, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.